warned Sarah Warmby more than 1,000 public sector jobs could be cut under a cost-saving measure to be announced in Tuesday's New South Wales budget. The New South Wales government will require departments to reduce some employee expenses by 5%, though the directive won't apply to all of the government's 320,000 staff. The coalition promised before the March election to reduce the amount spent on public sector executives by 10% by June 2020, keeping up to $159 million in government coffers. It also promised to cut the amount spent on private consultants by 20% annually, saving almost $25 million each year. Meantime, the Liberal Party's crushing Victorian election defeat will be laid bare in a preliminary report to be delivered to State Council. Party faithful will gather today for day two of the State Council at the Moonee Valley Racecourse. The theme of the 166th State Council is Unified Towards Success, as the party grapples with repairing factional tensions further strained by their disastrous state election in November. A teenage girl has died after her car crashed head-on with two utes in northern New South Wales. The 17-year-old was killed near Grafton yesterday morning after her station wagon hit two utes, one of them towing a boat. Emergency workers were called to the Armidale Road crash about 8:30. A 63-year-old woman who was driving one of the utes was taken to Grafton Hospital for chest pain. Investigations will continue today into a fire that destroyed classrooms at a Brisbane primary school. The blaze on Friday night gutted eight classrooms at the Upper Mount Gravatt State School. Melinda Dare, whose daughter's classrooms were destroyed, has told the ABC she can't believe someone would deliberately damage the school.
That's our home, and why would you go and ruin little kids' places that they go and learn? These teachers have worked so hard to accumulate all those resources, and it's just gone.
The school will be closed tomorrow while the investigations continue. After widespread anger and violent protests, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam has delayed indefinitely a proposed law to allow extraditions to mainland China. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield-Hayes has more.
Carrie Lam said it was the violence on the streets of Hong Kong on Wednesday that had caused her to act now. She said it was clear the extradition bill was causing division, that it had caused serious clashes and injuries, which she said had saddened her. Given that, and to prevent further injuries, the Hong Kong chief executive said she is suspending further debate on the extradition bill, and there is no deadline for resuming the debate.
I want to stress that the government is adopting an open mind to heed comprehensively different views in society towards the bill.
Mrs. Lam stopped short of fully withdrawing the bill, but this appears to be a fairly major climb down. Still, it is unclear whether it will be enough to placate the huge numbers of people who have turned out on the streets of Hong Kong over the last week.
And India will impose higher tariffs on 28 US products, including almonds, apples and walnuts. The new duties will take effect from tomorrow. India has been preparing to levy higher tariffs following Washington's withdrawal of key trade privileges for New Delhi. This is Air News. Australia has claimed victory over Sri Lanka at the Cricket World Cup, winning by 87 runs at the Oval. Aaron Finch's magnificent 153 and a quickfire 73 from Steve Smith helped guide Australia to a total of 7 for 334. Fremantle coach Ross Lyon has praised the leadership of Michael Walters after the star veteran produced another match-winning display in the club's 21-point triumph over Port Adelaide. Walters entered yesterday's AFL clash having booted the winning score in each of the Dockers' past two games, and the 28-year-old produced the goods yet again, booting six goals from 25 disposals in the 15-10-100 to 12-7-79 win. The Bulldogs and Saints also had wins. In rugby league, Parramatta, Penrith and Melbourne all posted wins. Sunshine Coast Lightning have ruined New Century and Kim Revillian's landmark game with a 64-41 win. Sean Bindley reports.
Lightning defenders Carla Pretorius and Pumza Mawini menaced Collingwood's shooters throughout, and the contest was all but over at three-quarter time when the Magpies trailed by 13. Sunshine Coast tutor Peace Broskovia seized on the gains made in defence to finish with 45 goals from 50 attempts, a 90% success rate for the franchise, who sits second on the competition ladder.
And Bernard Tomic's faltering career has been hit by another setback after he failed to qualify today for next week's prestigious Queen's Club tournament. Australian Independent Radio News.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old pacer of the year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yuraby Stud in New South Wales.
Mum, it's end of financial year time, which means qualifying businesses can take advantage of the instant asset write-off tax deductions on eligible purchases less than $30,000 per item.
At Bingley.
Like a new TV for your boardroom or appliances for your office kitchen. Talk to your accountant and then talk to us.
And?
It's the Bingley end of financial year sale with huge deals store-wide.
That's right.
Don't miss the end of financial year sale at Bingley.
50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2023. Harvey Norman massive half yearly clearance. Furniture, bedding in Manchester, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum finance amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 50 months interest free store wide. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2023. Harvey Norman massive half yearly clearance on now.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. Or the Tabs made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
It is cold and wet in Sydney town. To be honest, I hope it's cold and wet wherever you are in the listening audience, which means you're getting a bit of much-needed rain. There is so much to go through on a Sunday morning. We love doing it, Ray Thomas. I know we have our struggles about getting here, and I mean, you come in here and you're always pretty gruff and rough and
me?
Yeah, you. Hard to handle for the first 15 or 20 minutes when you get here, and then you finally warm up into a...
Funny how panel operator Hamish, producer Steve and producer Tanya immediately looked up over the screen and thought, what are you talking about, Jimmy Smith?
The theatre of radio, Raymond. I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We have got NRL, AFL, US Open golf, racing, we've got cricket, we've got
Matildas.
We've got anything and everything that we want to talk about today. There is so much going on. First of all, we've got to say the State of Origin's on next Sunday.
Yes.
We think we know the teams. Everyone's speculating at the teams. There's more leaks than a sieve.
Would you have Latrell Mitchell on your side?
Absolutely.
I can't believe this speculation. I know his form's been disappointing the last three games, but it's only a month ago he's been hailed as the best player in the world, wasn't he?
Get the feeling he'll come out and be really, really strong today. And he needs it for his own point of view, for his own sake and for his own confidence as much as anything. Speculation Wade Graham's going to be announced. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't, to be honest. But overnight, Australia have had another win at the World Cup against Sri Lanka, pretty comfortably in the end, Raymond, 334 for 7. Aaron Finch, I don't think I've seen him bat better.
The last 6 months, when they found form on the subcontinent, things had just gone better and better. And it was interesting that Michael Vaughan came out during the week and said the best captain that he has seen so far in this World Cup series is Aaron Finch.
Yeah.
Then he comes out and produces at 153 overnight. Again, Steve Smith got runs. It's interesting stats. I know Australia have played five games so far. They've won four, sit on top of the World Cup table at the moment. But the two leading run scorers so far in the series are Australia's two openers, Aaron Finch and Davey Warner.
Yes.
Steve Smith's also got a bulk of runs. He got 73 overnight.
From 59.
Yep. The two leading wicket takers so far in the World Cup are Mitchell Starc and Pat Cummins. Starc got four for again. Cummins, again, takes wickets at vital stages. So, look, halfway through the preliminary rounds, looking pretty good, Jim.
Tab had Australia as third favourites.
Mm.
And that would have been a weight of money from
England
Australia
and India above them?
In India, or England first, because the last two Cricket World Cups have been won by the home side.
Yes.
So we understood that. But, I mean, it was Australia. And I can't help but think, every time I see him there in his Australian tracksuit, I just get reassured that Ricky Ponting is in the camp.
Is he the X Factor?
Oh, just knows his cricket
one of the
inside
great
out.
We went to air last Sunday prior to that big clash with India v Australia, and India did win the match.
Yes.
There was a piece of sportsmanship there which has been much discussed during the week, and we should raise it. Virat Kohli going down to the Indian supporters and asking them to stop booing Steve Smith. I thought, you know what? We can love him or hate him because he is a prickly character, but geez, that showed some class.
I love him and love him.
Yeah, well, beautiful. I hate him when he scores runs against Australia.
What's right? Yeah,
he's great to watch,
but,
though.
But you admire his skill.
Oh, of course,
and
he's fantastic.
If you're an Indian supporter, you would love him like no other.
Oh,
and remember, we heard from our listener, I forget which one it was, that said, the Big Bang Theory. They wanted to get a few more viewers. So they got the character of Asian background to wear a Virat Kohli One Day shirt.
Got a few more viewers.
Got some more viewers. It's just incredible. So, we're great admirers, and I really appreciate what he did there from Steve Smith's
brilliant
point of view.
Yeah.
Will it stop? Probably not.
No, probably not. But
what we need to do is get the AFL to run the Cricket World Cup, and then you wouldn't be allowed to boo anyone.
I just saw some vision of some spectators wearing black tape over their mouths in protest. It's almost getting borderline ridiculous, isn't it?
It's censorship gone crazy.
You can't go to the football and boo. If your language is poor, and there's kids around, understand that, but surely you're allowed to go to the football, you pay your money to get in.
Correct.
You're allowed to boo, aren't you?
How long have we said it on this program? If you go to the footy and you pay your money, that rules you and Tanya out. So if you go to the footy...
I knew that was coming somehow.
If you go to the footy and you pay your money, and you don't vilify anyone in any way, shape or form, you can say whatever you like.
Exactly.
In any manner that you like. Now, the challenge is, and I haven't seen it yet, but I am looking forward to it, the Adam Goods documentary, The Final Quarter. When do we know the booing is racially motivated? When do we know that it's booing because you just don't like that player?
Exactly, yeah.
That's the tough one. Hey, big win for the Eels fans.
Wow.
What a roller coaster you guys are on. Is Tim Manor staying? Is Tim Manor going? What's happening with the coach? Oh, the coach is staying. Mitch Moses, yeah, he's going to stay as well. Oh, we've been horrible the last...
When they play at Bankwest, what do they call it? Paradise. Now.
Paradise.
I love it. It's a great
paradise. Fantastic. 38 points to 10 against the Broncos. And when Kevin Walters wins this State of Origin series, that's right, you heard
Ooh.
Me say that. When Kevin Walters wins this State of Origin series, there's a lot of speculation around him taking over the Titans' job.
Okay.
But there will be any number of people, mostly former legends of the Brisbane Broncos, who will say
he should be the
Kevin
Broncos
should
job.
Be the coach. Mm. Now, Anthony Seibold's got 5 years to go on his contract, so that's not going to happen.
And he's got friends in high places, Anthony Seibold.
However, that is a very disappointing performance. Let's have a listen to what Anthony Seibold had to say after the match last night, and this might help explain, but not excuse, his team's performance.
Simple hard facts of it.
That's an interesting comment, isn't it? So what he's basically saying is the players know that they're in the team, correct?
Of course. Well, they got their bags packed. It's a logistics thing. If you're in the Queensland State of Origin side, you don't want to go back to Brisbane and then over to Perth. So we'll get to that right now. They've got the game coming up in Perth. So my question is this. We've been speculating since about Thursday. Oh, the halves for New South Wales will be Pearce and Cleary. Mm. Okay, that's the strong leak that's come out. It hasn't been confirmed anywhere. Why shouldn't we know that?
You're saying, because normally when you pick the Origin team, it's on the Sunday and the Monday prior to the Wednesday the following week.
It's a lead-up of 10 or 11 days.
So you're saying extra week lead-up for the Perth game.
Why didn't they name it last Monday?
Yep.
Why didn't they name it last Monday? You'd still have a round to play. And I spoke to people close to the New South Wales camp, and they said, oh, no, you can't do that because players will know during the game and the coaches don't. Well, the players know anyway.
Well, it was interesting that Freddie Fittler told Nathan Cleary prior to, I can't remember the game that Cleary played, he said, you go out and play well, you'll be an Origin 1. And he came out and had a man-of-the-match performance and scored the winning try. Remember that?
Right.
So Nathan Cleary knew in the back of his mind if he played well, he'd get the Blues jumper. So your point is that the coaches have effectively told those 17 players that they're in the team.
They've told them anyway. They've packed their bags. You heard it from Anthony Seibold. As we said, it explains the performance, doesn't excuse the performance. Now, you wanted to talk about Perth hosting the Origin.
Yeah, that Perth Stadium. Tanya and I had an opportunity to tour it earlier this year. It is fabulous, but I'm still not completely sold on why that Origin game is going to Perth. Jimmy, it's an AFL market, an ARL side was tried there once many years ago, didn't quite work. Why go there? Why alienate the biggest market for the Origin, which is Brisbane, Sydney and, to a certain extent, Melbourne?
Brisbane and Sydney still get a game, so there's no problem there. And Queensland was struggling to sell out.
It was only
a couple of seats, and they were the highly priced ones. Mm. So I'm not going over the top on that one. However, if you're happy just with your own little part of the world and not thinking about expansion and not think,
are you thinking a team comes out of Perth one day again?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can the market sustain?
Absolutely, it can.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not sold on that either, but I'll defer to your better judgment there.
Well, it's just different judgment. It might not be better. So we'll take your thoughts on that. 1353 is the open line number. Now, you had some things you wanted to ask me.
Well, I did, Jim. You know, I reckon it's frustrating NRL fans, and Tanya and I were talking about it last night, that the Timmy Manor situation is, Phil Rothfield's reported on it today, potentially there's a backflip from Timmy Manor. He may not leave Parramatta. But why does the NRL allow this to happen? Why does players play for their clubs one week and all of a sudden they're a different jersey the next? Dallin Watinius Lesniak, another example.
He'll turn out for the Bulldogs today.
What is the solution, Jim? Because this is not good for supporters, is it? They buy their jumpers, their kids get the numbers on the back for their favourite players the following week, their favourite players with a different club.
I understand that part of it, the challenge. It happens in most other, 99% of other professional sports around the globe. My point across this for the National Rugby League is three things. Formalise a transfer window. Times two.
That's a good point.
Maybe even times three. 2 weeks at the end of the season where you go, right, where you go. And all the lead-up can be there and all the speculation can be there, but within that two-week period, that's when it's got to happen. Mm. And then have another two-week period leading up to June 30. Remember, squads have to be finalised. They have to get their final 30 at June 30. So formalise that process. So formalise it, and then the emphasis goes to the club. Utilise it. If you're looking for an outside back, move some players on your books and get that outside back that might make you either your fans think, yes, we've now got the final piece of the puzzle to make us that premiership threat.
It's very similar to the EPL model almost.
Totally. Mm-hmm. How many times have we heard from our football experts say they'll go to the transfer window in the January and they'll be looking for this, this and this?
And then supporters of the game can get used to that concept. They'll accept it as they do in other sports. And right now it's a mishmash, isn't it? It's all over the shop.
And then after that, from the rugby league's point of view, the National Rugby League, commercialise it.
Correct.
Get some money around it.
Makes sense.
Shows, radio, broadcasts, et cetera, et cetera.
James, can I raise a point quickly?
Yes.
I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch it. I did mention to you last night. Last weekend in the AFL was what they call the Big Freeze weekend.
Yes.
Neil Danaher has made a speech which is across a lot of social media platforms. It's effectively about his battle with MND, and he's now... He's a grandfather. He's got his first grandson, name is Cooper.
Yes.
And his 4.5-minute speech is effectively, telling what he would love to teach his son, his grandson Cooper, about life, etc. He's not whinging at the fact that he's got a death sentence, which he has got. He's talking about life and opportunity. It's not about AFL. It's simply about a sportsman using his persona and the platform that he's got to mention MND. It is, and the struggles he's got with it, but also to tell people that life is worth living. It is the most inspirational 4.5 minutes that I have seen. If you haven't watched it, it is everywhere on social media. Just take 4.5 minutes. It will change your life. Did you watch it, Jim?
Watched it last night after your urging, and the key message, the key takeout from Neil Danaher is this, and it's not just the words, it's the fashion in which they're delivered, knowing the circumstances of them. Take responsibility for your actions.
Yep.
And be resilient.
Mm.
Now, be resilient is one thing. Building resilience is another thing. But if there is one thing that I could give my children in life, it would be resilience.
Yep.
It is, because as Neil
coping
said,
mechanisms.
You will suffer setbacks.
There
will be tough
life times.
But it's not about the tough times.
And it's not about blaming people. It's about accepting that life and then using
it
as an opportunity to move forward. It is the most inspirational thing that I've seen for many, many years.
Yeah. Is Sam Kerr accepting responsibility? Is she being resilient? Is she moving forward? Or have she got caught up in
what the haters are going to hate? Yeah. Was it a bit tongue-in-cheek when she said, suck on that, all the haters, after the Matildas got out of jail 3-2 against Brazil? I took it as a bit of a comical tongue-in-cheek reference, but others have taken it differently, Jim.
I'm a little bit concerned. It's probably not called for, a little bit distasteful, but I'm worried about where her mindset's at. Like, what's your motivating force? If you're motivating...
By the haters.
Yeah, if your motivating force is, oh, I'm going to show them wrong, or if your motivating force is, I want to go out there and express myself fully with my team and I want to perform at my best. That's a great...
The siege mentality can work for a short period. It can't work indefinitely, can it?
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. What about Amanda Elliott?
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Amanda Elliott describing Peter Vlanis as a silly little man making silly little decisions, re-racing's prize money war. I dare say she wishes she had that interview all over again, Jim. It was on radio in Melbourne and came out with that comment. She did, to be fair, she did ring Peter Vlanis and personally apologise that day.
Okay.
And that's...
Has that been widely broadcast?
It should have been if it hasn't been.
Right.
And so that's credit to her. But quick question to you, Jim.
Yes.
Imagine if Peter Vlanis made that comment.
Well, that's
her.
A very good point. That's a very good point, yeah.
Gee, I tell you what.
Well, Peter handled it well. But I tell you what.
He made comic relief out of it.
You know you've got them on the run when they start doing that.
Exactly. They're playing them
on the run. Yeah. On the run. Are they still going to have the Spring Carnival down there in Victoria, are they? Will they go ahead with that, or have they abandoned...
You're stirring the pot again.
No, I just wondered. Anyway. Apparently
we haven't got listeners in Victoria.
Have we? Hang on. If we've got the Victorian listeners, 1353 53, if you want to have your say. And now, the final thing, congratulations to the Toronto Raptors. Well done. They have won for the first time the NBA
An injury riddle,
series.
Golden State Warriors.
Couldn't get it done. But it brings us to our talk topic for today. Groundbreaking wins.
Okay.
Groundbreaking wins.
You go first, James.
2014, the man who usually sits in this chair, 2014, New South Wales, State of Origin Series victory. After 8 long, horrible, lean years, New South Wales won a State of Origin Series.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I was going to go NRL Rugby League, but I might go something... I was going to mention Penrith 91, because that was life-changing for me. But just different sport. The 89 Ashes
Tour. So now you eat at Panarottis all the time.
No. 89 Ashes Tour.
Yes.
Because the first time, I think it's pre-World War II, wasn't it, Australia had gone to England and reclaimed the Ashes. That was 4-0 Alan Border. They were described as the worst Australian team ever to land in English soil, which happened every time we go over there.
Yes.
But then Steve Waugh finally found how to score Test hundreds, got off to a flyer. Six Test series, won 4 of them. The other two were washed out when Australia were right on top. Could have been 6-0.
Did you watch any of that series?
I didn't. I hardly missed the ball. I was at uni at the time. It was the best way to study.
Anyone who's listening to the program knows exactly what's coming next. So, yeah, you watched just about every ball you were supposed to be studying. How'd you go in those exams?
I did okay.
Did you? Well done. Well done. 1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. 0419 767 272, and of course on Twitter at Big Sports Weekend, WEND, at Big Sports WEND. We'll take a break and then after eventually. By the way, what about this one? Wash your mouth out, Jimmy Smith. How can any real Blues supporter say that Queensland's going to win the State of Origin? Well, I think it's done. Gus Gould's in the paper today saying the same thing. So we'll see how it plays out next Sunday.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, right now you can save up to $300 on selected Miele washing machines at Bingley.
Yes.
And save up to $300 on selected Miele dryers and washer dryers.
Yes.
And save a further $200 if they're purchased together as a package.
Yes.
That's a saving...
Up to $800
on Miele laundry appliances at Bingley.
What a chin.
See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Great value stallions and attractive all-inclusive breeding packages are the feature of Coringle Stud in 2019. Coringle is delighted to offer multiple Group 1 producer Magic Albert, who has close to 70% winners to runners and progeny earnings of more than $48 million. Magic Albert stands alongside exciting stallion prospect Prized Icon and Group 1 sire Dufour, as well as the Brothers War. For more information, contact Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Lazarus, arguably the greatest pacer to ever race down under. Winner of a massive 15 Group 1s and over $4 million in prize money. Lazarus, standing at Uribe Stud in New South Wales.
Masters, Zephyr, Samson, Bergerac. A length and a half fighting Teo, but Bergerac out wide. Raced up, grabbed the lead, and Bergerac. Bergerac has won Ipswich Cup by a length on the line to Samson.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the show. 7:27 on your Sunday morning. And James, a couple of SMSs have come through. This one's from Bryce. Morning, gents and Tanya. Understand it's not in your nature, Ray, but please, Raymond, could you have a dig at Jimmy on behalf of the rugby
not
league?
Not in his nature.
Countries? What are you saying? You did declare last weekend the Broncos were morales at 13 plus. Mm. Result beaten badly. Please remind him of this, Raymond, on behalf of all of us rugby league punters. Love the show. That's from Bryce.
Can't really comment on
that. You didn't want me to read
that
out, did you?
No, I don't mind. Absolutely. No, it won't be the first time I got things wrong, and no doubt
welcome
I wouldn't
to
be following
world.
My tips today.
Welcome to my world.
Anyway, and now there's one here from Judy. Funnily enough, not having a go at me, but morning team, 7 a.m. Sunday, wouldn't miss the show. But Ray, where were you on Friday for the insiders? Missed your input. You on holidays, Ray?
I am. You've got a few days off here, so.
Oh.
But well wouldn't miss Sunday mornings. It's good.
Oh.
Except for next Sunday.
I wouldn't miss Sunday morning, except for next week. And there's a couple after.
I haven't told you about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, anyway.
We're going home to see my mum in Tamworth.
Morning, Mrs. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, away we go, Roman.
Your favourite part of the show, Jim.
Let's go. I'll give you a chance to catch up on some reading.
Okay, Rose Hill yesterday, opening race of two-year-olds during winter. Jeez, you're a hard man. He's such a hard man. The two-year-old racing has been really strong in Sydney this winter. It has been. Pay more attention, Jim. This is a nice horse. His name is Enforcement.
Rotator's got chasing to do in a pocket. Enforcement leads at the 300 by two lengths. Intrepidatious running home well. And now Rotator gets the chance on the fence. Enforcement two lengths clear from Intrepidation. Rotator, the wheels are spinning and Enforcement is full of running. And Enforcement kept going for a most impressive win here. Rotator second, Intrepidatious third.
Are you paying attention, Jim?
Yeah, Tommy Berry, P&P Snowden. What's next for Enforcement, and what are you going to do with all your winnings?
Yeah. Tanya just picked up then, too.
Tanya didn't know about that one. How'd you go at the race today, honey? Oh, about square.
funny how it always comes
couple
out
of
square.
A couple of grand.
No, hang on. No. Shh.
All right.
No,
that, sorry.
He'll race probably through the winter to the early part. What are you doing? You put me right in there. As I fidget nervously in my seat.
I love it.
Anyway, nice horse. He might go to a race like at the start of the spring, the new season, race like the San Domenico or the Rosebud. Okay. That's probably his limit at the moment. Don't rule out Rotator. She's a filly still learning her craft, can improve. On to race four, and Jenny Duggan rides her first Sydney Saturday winner for a number of years on Riverbird.
Acebeard Odd swings the corner in front from Denawi, pulling out Handle the Truth. Then Snow Valley in fourth. Yunberg looking for room. Riverbird the outside. And further back to England, down to the 300. Handle the Truth moves up on the outside of Catesby. Denawi's had enough. Snow Valley can't get out. Yunberg, Riverbird, and England winding up. And further back to Charlene closing up. It's England after Riverbird, Yunberg. Then Handle the Truth getting to the front. Riverbird, England with the final shot. England goes to Riverbird. Missed. I think the bird just got in. Riverbird, a short half head to England and a nose back to Yunberg.
Well done, Darren. Yeah, the bird got in. Jenny Duggan had the win as well, which was significant, Raymond. Mm. For what reasons?
Three female jockeys won yesterday, rode winners yesterday, but two of them are mothers, Jenny Duggan and Samantha Clinton. And I racked my brain yesterday afternoon, asked everybody on track, couldn't remember if it's ever happened previously on a Sydney Saturday meeting. So congratulations to also Deanne Panierade winners, but particularly Jenny Duggan and Samantha Clinton. And
we're going to speak to Jenny a little bit later on in the program.
We certainly will. This horse is just an old marvel. His name, Destiny's Kiss.
Rider makes the move at the top of the straight and Storm to the front now in the Winter Cup. Hush Rider's drawn a length, two lengths clear from Our Big Mike, then Castodon. Saunter Boy into the clear from Mazaz. Destiny's Kiss, Highbridge winding up. Yogi can't win from there. It's Hush Rider at the 200, a length and a half clear from Highbridge coming down the outside. Then Saunter Boy, Yogi with a late split, wide out Highbridge. Destiny's Kiss, Mazaz, Yogi with a final burst. Destiny's Kiss and Yogi dives. Oh, I'm not sure here. Yogi and Destiny's Kiss.
Destiny's Kiss it was for Joe Pride, who'll be on the program a little bit later as well. Rising 11-year-old, and he hasn't ruled out going around again next year.
He's a remarkable horse. He won that race, the Winter Cup, back in 2013. He's owned by Nick Moraitis. That year he beat Fia Machino, also owned by Nick Moraitis. So I rang Nick yesterday. He wasn't on track. And look, Nick's won Melbourne Cups, Caulfield Cups, Cox Plates. He was so emotional after Destiny's Kiss won, and a really popular win. Great old horse. Down to the last, I think the best horse racing at Rose Hill yesterday was and is a horse by the name of Capperjack.
Capperjack is fourth, the rails. Metamorphic's pulling out. They straighten up and further back now to Nick O'Shea. So Capperjack's got a mile of room to go through on the fence. He's chasing the big roughy Chapelco. Capperjack went straight to him though, and Capperjack takes the lead of the 250. A nation roars for the last favourite, Metamorphic. Nick O'Shea are running home into minor placings, and then came Destiny's Own, but Capperjack off and gone. Brock Ryan pulling off the perfect ride, and Capperjack won the last by 2.5. Nick O'Shea second. I think Destiny's Own third.
Well, if you pull off the perfect ride, we better get you on the program. So Brock Ryan will be on a little bit later as well. Great story behind Brock, and we'll talk to him about that. But Capperjack, what will be next?
Yeah, look, maybe another race or two through the winter, but long-term, looking at the Magic Means, very talented horse for Team Hawks. Ipswich Cup Day yesterday, I don't think it was the strongest Ipswich Cup or Eyeliner Stakes, but I did want to have one race replay, Jim. It was the Gay Waterhouse Classic because Gay trained the winner, Ready to Profit.
So far, So Cool by length and a half from Panino. Third, the outside, Ready to Profit. Padrina, fourth, very wide. Manoa's up to 50 inside, 3 to 4 lengths off the leader. Indecision, the next one, Pecans on the outside. Prue's Angel, very wide. And the next one there is Basu at the 250. It's Panino, and also down the outside, Ready to Profit, making ground as Foxy Housewife over on the inside. But Ready to Profit has race clear. It's a length and a half in front from Panino. Late skate to Paris. Ready to Profit's in front from Skate to Paris. Organza in front, Ready to Profit. Ready to Profit has won from a photo. Organza and Skate to Paris, followed by Intrinsic.
How good's that? Put on a race and then you win it. They put on a race for you and then you win it. Well done, Gay. Congratulations.
And Adrian Bott.
And Adrian Bott, of course, yes. Here's a good one. Groundbreaking wins, always. The 1981 Parramatta Eels first premiership. Ding dong, the witch is dead. 34 years in the making. It's now 33 years since our last premiership. That's from Paramat.
Good point.
And there's another one here from Simon. Ray, your tips were pretty good on Saturday. Thanks, Simon. Looks like you got a bit of enforcement as well, Simon.
Okay. So. And this is from Vicky. Hi, Ray and Jimmy. Groundbreaking wins. Tom Melbourne winning his next race or any after that.
Leave Tom alone. Leave Tom alone, Vicky. All right, let's go to callers. They're there. 1353 53 is the open line number. Anthony's on the line. G'day,
Anthony. Good morning. I agree with Paramat, but I'm going to, because I love racing, I'm going to say the groundbreaking victory is Vintage Crop Melbourne Cup, and in return, Shrezi at Ascot. It just opened floodgates on both sides of the...
Good point, Anthony. Great point. Yeah, that's great a point. Really good one. Yeah. Vintage Crop, of course, 93, and that changed the face of not only the Melbourne Cup, but Australian racing. And then Shrezi.
What year, Shrezi? 2001?
2002, I think, on memory.
2002, was it? Yeah, I told the story.
Paul Perry and... That changed the face of Australian racing.
Tell the story of the battling Wallace family from the Hunter, who Schwarzier are still at stud, and then they found coal on their property.
You can get lucky in life, can't you?
Things are working out.
Yeah, Neil Danaher said about opportunity.
That's right.
Good call, Anthony.
Good on you, Anthony. Okay. Nice one. Yeah, let's keep going. 1353 53 is the open line number. Stu's there. G'day, Stu.
Jimmy, Ray, how are you, boys?
Really morning, well, Jim. Mate.
Got a couple of things for you. Jimmy... I'll start with this one. You must know someone that can give Gus Gould a job at a football club, don't you, mate? I'm sick of listening to him dribble on Friday nights. He's ruining the game.
Oh, what's he said now, Gus? I was.
Oh, he just everything he says, mate. Christ Almighty! When he was with Penrith, we didn't hear from him too much.
Well, he does work for a media organisation that owns both newspapers and television, so they've got to get their value out of him somehow, Stu.
The other thing,
yes.
I was living in Western Australia when the Western Reds were taken out of the comp.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, the majority of people that were filthy for us taking away the game from over there, it was outstanding the number of people that were dirty on it. So, why don't they look at it again?
Yeah, hey, Stu, that's interesting because I did raise the point about why that origin was over there. Do you think... there is a market strong enough for rugby league in Perth?
Well, look at all the English people live
yes.
there. You know, like big English community in WA.
South African community as well. No rugby union side there.
Men
and
on the
course,
ground. Yeah.
Plenty of people from the East Coast or rugby league supporters have gone over because of the mining boom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that market there as well, 1353. Groundbreaking wins, the Cronulla Sharks winning their first comp in 2016. That's from Steve. Good on you. Why didn't you read the rest of my text, Jimmy? Because it was about you. Yeah, that was Judy. Judy, let it go. Just breathe.
She's nailed you.
Nice
again,
little
Judy.
Cup of tea or something. Sit down. Bex, maybe a lie down as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a... How many times do you reckon you say that at a program?
Oh, I feel sorry for Judy because she's just raising a salient point.
She was actually not... She was quite nice to me in that part, wasn't she? Well, that's certainly the way I took it.
Did you?
we'll get to a break and find out exactly what Judy meant in that text.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing? Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, it's end of financial year time, which means qualifying businesses can take advantage of the instant asset write-off tax deductions on eligible purchases less than $30,000 per item.
At Bingley.
Like a new TV for your boardroom or appliances for your office kitchen. Talk to your accountant and then talk to us.
And?
It's the Bingley end of financial year sale with huge deals store-wide.
That's right.
Don't miss the end of financial year sale at Bingley.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery, and coming soon to Liverpool.
Business tax deductions. Items costing less than $30,000. Applies to eligible businesses with annual turnover of less than $50 million. Yes, $50 million. This is a good deal and it helps business. June 30, coming up, huge benefits, great incentive. Harvey Norman, sales up. Thank you, business. Thank you, government.
Tax law is complex and may have different applications to different taxpayers. Before you purchase, seek professional advice to determine whether your business is eligible.
Many chances here. Jennifer Swasham tackled by Upper House, and Upper House takes the lead. One more Sapphire late, Zardoro late. Upper House too good. Upper House beats Zardoro. One more Sapphire.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And that was Upper House for Norm Gardner and Deanne Pannier winning yesterday. But I dare say, Jim, there was no more popular winner than Destiny's Kiss in the Winter Cup. And I think for his trainer, Joe Pride, I reckon it was akin to South's groundbreaking 2014 Premiership win because it was such a great moment for him. Joe's on the line. Good morning, Joe. And well, what do you say about Destiny's Kiss, mate? He's just an old marvel, isn't he?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, look, yeah, clear to say. I've been quite confident about him through the week, and not necessarily that he'd win, but that he'd run well. And I turned up there at the race yesterday, and I'm watching these horses parade. And, you know, we've seen a big change in Sydney racing the last sort of 4 to 5 years in these staying ranks. And I look at some pretty big, strong, imported horses, and I looked at my old bloke, all 420 kilos on him, and thought, well, maybe it's about time. Maybe retirement's a bit closer than we think, but he's just such a brave horse. Mm. He's an amazing, amazing athlete, and you know, he's almost 11 now, so
yeah.
To see him do that at this age, just so proud of him.
Actually, watching the race, I just thought, what a courageous win, what courage that he showed. Apparently you were very vocal during the course of the running, suggesting maybe that there was a financial endorsement of what you felt as well, Joe.
No, purely emotional with this, and not to say that there's not a reward financially. I did have something on him, but geez, if you're going to have your money on a horse, I think this is just a pretty good horse to be back, especially 25-1 when you know how much courage and will he has to compete. But look, it was just one of those wins where it just meant a lot to me. And you know, we're often just caught up in the grind of the week to week racing, and when a horse does something like that, to me it was the equivalent of emotionally a Group One win, which we've been lucky enough to have a few of, and it was really special.
And Sam had to do a bit of work at about the 600-metre mark just to get him into a spot?
It's typical of the horse. He tends to drop the bit, and we've seen that from him time and time again. The effort's always there. Thought his runs have been pretty good this prep leading into that. And, yeah, I mean, to win this race sort of 6 years apart, it's... I don't think that's been done too often, I'm sure.
No, it's remarkable. Joe, he must, obviously his 97th start yesterday, which is amazing in itself, so he must cope with racing so well. Does he pull up well immediately after a race?
He does, yeah. He's the ultimate athlete. I've often compared him to one of those, African, Ethiopian runners. You know, there's not an ounce of excess weight on him. He's just all machinery, and he's just and because of that, it doesn't take any toll on him, or it takes a very small toll on him physically. He's got a great respiratory constitution there, and he's just built to stay.
Other winner for you was Passage of Time. What a horse this guy is, and looks spectacular, Joe.
Yeah, beautiful big horse, and so happy that the decision was made to geld him at a very late age. You know, I'm not sure if that stands up very often, but to be gelded now and come back as a 5-year-old and find such consistent form, it's his time of year. He's very well placed at this time of year. And he had to lump a big weight there yesterday, but he had a good class advantage on his rivals, and I thought Sam just rated him absolutely perfectly. We got to a couple of those midsections and a tick over 12, and when you're doing that, you're not going very fast.
Joe, in a couple of weeks' time, we're back at Rose Hill again. There is a Stayers Cup at 3200. Would Destiny's Kiss go there in the Civic Stakes? Is that for Passage of Time next?
Yeah, definitely for Passage of Time. Destiny's Kiss got to put a bit of thought into this because he's been a horse in the last few years that he doesn't too often string two big performances together. And, you know, at his age, that's understandable. Now, they ask him to run 2 miles, he'll get 62.5, which is as much as they can give him.
Yeah.
And I can claim off that. I've got Chris Williams sort of waiting to ride him. That'll be 59.5. I'm going to put a bit of thought into it over the next couple of weeks, but there's also a 2,000-metre race on the day. So, look, he'll stay and work.
Yep.
But I don't really want to dump him out in the paddock in this time of year. It's not a great time to be in the paddock, but I'm kind of eyeing off maybe. I love the thought of him racing on. I don't want to burn him out now, so maybe eyeing off something in the early spring.
You got the result with Destiny's Kiss in a tight one, and we're talking groundbreaking wins here. It didn't quite happen for the Rabbitohs last night, Joe.
I knew this was coming. I went out there too. I dragged the family out there, and it was always a chance. When I got worried. I knew Sam wasn't playing.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise Tom and George weren't either. And
yeah.
Now, when you're lacking those three guys out of your forward pack, and Reynolds, you know, the organiser, I thought Cody Walker looked like he's suffering a little bit of post-origin flatness, call it what you will, I'm not sure, but he just didn't seem to have his normal ping. We were ripe for the picking, and they only lost by a point, disappointing. Yeah, didn't get the treble, but if you told me in the morning I can have two wins on the day, I think I got the right two. I'm happy enough with that.
Fair enough. Well done. Congratulations, Joe. We just marvel at Destiny's Kiss, and we look forward to when he brings up the 100, actually, whenever that happens to be.
He won his 50th start. His 50th start, he won the Gloucester Cup, and I remember thinking that. I thought, if you don't win another race, boy, you've done a fantastic job. Here we are, closing in on 100. So,
Just amazing. And as always, Joe, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
There is Joe Pride. Yes, Ron?
That's a good point, because I think I heard a stat. It was the first time South have played without a Burgess brother for, was it 6 or 7 years?
Yeah,
or
that'd be right. By the way, Luke Burgess has announced during the course of the week that he's going to have 3 professional bouts.
Oh, really? Okay.
Into the boxing ring. I think he's 36 years of age.
30 big boys.
36 years of age. Just on Destiny's Kiss, 97 starts, 19 wins.
Mm.
And $1.55 million in prize
what
money.
Horse.
What a marvel.
Owned and bred by Nick Moraitis.
I was going to say for the owners, but it's the owner, Nick Moraitis. Up next, Brock Ryan.
Linda C. Park. Treacherous putt here at Pebble Beach. Look how far out he aimed. Some 3 feet. Gary Woodland.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yet to tee off in his third round, just before we get to Brock Ryan, Gary Woodland leads at 9 under. From an Aussie's point of view, Adam Scott is there. He's dropped 7 spots into a tie for 18th.
Is he on the course now?
He's on the course, absolutely. 1 over for the day. Jason Day is 1 under for the day. He's gone up 12 spots to a tie for 33rd. Mark Leishman is there. Jason Day and Cameron Smith are playing together. And I thought, you know, golf's a game where you can do well and I can do well.
Feed off each other.
That's right. Mm. So I wonder if they were there talking to each other. And
it hasn't quite happened for Cameron, has it? No.
Cameron's 6 over for the day.
How's Tiger? Where's Tiger?
Let's have a look where Tiger is. And we're heading down. There he is. Tiger Woods is... He's
okay, 1 over.
1 over for the day, and he's dropped 10 spots. He's in a tie for 42nd.
Yesterday at Rose Hill, Jim, wasn't a great day for favourite backers, so there was a lot riding on Brock Ryan's ride on the hot pot Capperjack in the last, and as Michael Hawke said afterwards, young Brock Ryan rode it perfectly. Terrific when he's been good enough to join us on the line. Brock, good morning, and well, I guess that was one of those races where everything went to plan, and you're on a horse that was just simply far too good for his rivals.
Yeah, that's right. He just jumped, put himself where we had to be, and he was just way too good for him, wasn't he? Mm. For him, wasn't he?
It seemed to open up perfectly. Were you under instruction, Brock? Did you talk about Team Hawks, about where you wanted to be in the run and how you thought it might play out?
No, that's a good thing. For riding for Team Hawks, they never weigh you down with instruction. They basically, every horse I've rode for them, they just say have them where they're comfortable and let them finish off. So he bounced, put himself there, and when that gap came at the top of straight, I thought, oh, I'll just take it.
Mm.
I know the track was sort of playing a bit biased to the middle, but when the run appeared and you're on the best horse in the race, you just got to take it.
Mm. Brock, you're a young rider just starting out in his career. When you're on a hot favourite in a Sydney Saturday meeting, do you feel any extra pressure?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Mm.
leading up to the race, I definitely had pre-race nerves, that's for sure. But once I was out there and we jumped out of barriers, the nerves went away and it was just like any other race.
Mm. How did you get into this racing caper, mate? From what I understand, age 20, which is only, I'd imagine, five short years ago, you had no involvement in racing whatsoever, working in a completely separate industry, but now you find yourself riding hot favourites on Saturday to great wins.
Yeah, funny story, isn't it? Just basically heaps of mates just always bagging me out about my size and telling me I should be a jockey, so I thought, oh, well, we'll give it a crack. Wasn't really doing too much. I was living up at Yamba at the time, just working in the ground, just groundskeeping in a caravan park, so I thought, oh, well, give it a crack, see how we go, and can always come back, can't I?
So did you have any experience? Was there any family history in the horse racing industry?
No one. My uncle owned a few horses with Gary Colvin, so he sort of messaged him and said, oh, my nephew wants to try and be a jockey. Can you help him out? And he said, better off going to Kembla Grange. So he set me up with Paul Murray to start with, Steve and Paul Murray.
Yes.
So I just packed up my bags and moved down here and started with them, just mucking out boxes and whatnot. And they threw me on a retired racehorse just down there in the sand roll and got thrown off a few times.
Brock, you were telling me yesterday you'd never actually ridden a horse before. So,
nah.
And did it come easily to you, this riding caper?
Everyone said I picked it up quite quickly. Mm-hmm. It was obviously pretty hard at the start, not knowing anything about horses and no experience riding them or even handling them, to be honest. So it was hard at the start, but I did pick it up quite quickly. I was on the track, riding track work after about a month. So month of just riding the horse at the end of the morning in the paddock. So picked it up pretty quickly.
Brock, jockeys are unique sports people in my mind because not only are they probably the fittest sports people, they're also fearless, because what you do is not for the faint-hearted. Does the fear factor come into play at all, Brock?
They pretty fearless, really. It doesn't faze me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And most jockeys say the same thing. It's remarkable.
What's the toughest part, mate? How's your weight? Is that no problem?
No, my weight's good. I walk around about 52 at the moment, which is, it's the heaviest I've ever been in my life. But I still ride, like I claim three off 52 of a Saturday, so I can ride 49, and I've been doing that sort of the last 2 months, quite comfortable. My weight's good.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of at that age where I won't put on.
His jaw just dropped when you said you can ride 49 quite comfortably. You can't believe that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you'd be like Malcolm Johnson and eating scones while all the other jockeys are in the sauna.
Yeah, that's right. I can eat pretty well until about Thursday or Friday and then spend a day getting a couple of kilos off
Makes it sound so easy, doesn't it? Yeah. Hey, Brock, what about the hours? It's not an easy game, is it, racing? There is rewards there financially if you can be successful, but the hours are tough, particularly for an apprentice jockey. How are you coping with that?
Yeah, you get used to it. At the beginning, when you're starting out, it takes probably a few months to get used to the travelling and then backing up, getting the track work each morning after you travel. Especially when you're starting out, you're riding at a lot of country tracks that are sort of 3, 4, or 5 hour drives each day, and that takes it out of you for sure. And then, like I said, backing up at track work, it's quite tough some mornings, especially if you do it in consecutive days. But you do get used to it. It's like anything. You train your body to do it, and you get through it quite easily after a while.
Mate, this is a great story, Brock. Yeah. Congratulations on that win yesterday. Amazing journey that you've undertaken over the last 5 years. And, mate, we'll look forward to speaking to you on a Sunday morning more often.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Good on you, Brock. Thanks so much.
There he is, Brock Ryan.
He's a young kid whose star is on the rise.
Is that right? Yeah. Wow, that is an incredible story. 1353-53, the open line number. Just before we get that, morning, lads. Look, after all these years, I still reckon Lassif Malinga's action is very dicey. Front-on shots last night looked to me very questionable. What do you guys reckon? Cheers, Blue Bags.
He's the ultimate slinger, isn't he?
He's a slinger. And I said to Ray, this is going to be sacrilegious, and we'll be in trouble. But Ray Russell Lindwall, the legendary dual sports star, most notably, of course, with the 48 Invincibles and an opening bowler for Australia, have a look at his action.
Yeah.
He's a slinger. And it is question marks
there's
about
a bit
it.
A bent elbow there, isn't there?
You're allowed 15 degrees now, though.
Yeah, that's
you're
true.
Allowed 15 degrees.
Because of Murali.
Murali,
yeah,
that's right.
That was the Murali law.
15 degrees. Yeah. Adrian is on the line. G'day, Adrian.
Hey, Jimmy. G'day, Rugby. Just quickly, just with the eligibility rules in rugby league, right? The thing with when you're playing the second tier nation like Tonga and Samoa, you got someone like Moaki Futuaika, who's New Zealand born. And he's of Tongan heritage, and he was raised in Queensland, right? So he's decided to, he takes the route to, I'm going to play for Tonga. That still keeps the door open for him to play Origin. That basically rules out him playing for his birth country, New Zealand. And all that does is just makes Australia stronger, just weakens New Zealand. How is that good for international rugby league, guys?
It's a very good point that you make, Adrian, and it's one of these things that needs to be looked at. Tonga is still a second-tier nation, as you say. My thought on it is this, and it's going to be very hard to do, but not impossible, and that is I don't know how Mo Fotuaka feels, whether he feels as a Queenslander, as a Tongan, or as a New Zealander. But what I can say is this, take finance out of the equation. The financial incentives to play State of Origin and Test matches for Australia far outweigh the opportunities where you can play Test matches for Tonga.
Correct.
So if you take that out of it, so it's not a short-term decision like that, and then they decide, I want to play with this side or I want to play with this side.
You have to respect it.
Then, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's a very, very interesting point, and it's a good problem that I think rugby league administrators have to come to terms with.
But one they have to look at.
That's
they
right. They've looked at it, and I don't think they've quite got it right. Just yet. 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tan. She's got scratchings around the country.
Morning, boys. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Port Macquarie and Muswellbrook. We have the Sunshine Coast in Queensland and Mount Gambier in South Australia. Starting with Port Macquarie, the weather is overcast. The track is soft 6. The rail is out 2 metres from the 1400 to the 375. True the remainder. And there are 18 scratchings. Race 1, take out 12. Perfect, number 12. Race 2, number 6, Gina's Pride, and 14, Frosty Olive, 6 and 14. Race 3, number 9, French Charm, number 9. Race 4 is Clear. Race 5, 13, Badge of Honour, 14, Waterline, 15, Waterside, and 16, More to Come, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Race 6, number 2, Acoustics, 8, Harry and the Duke, 12, Twilight Charade, and 16, Edea, 2, 8, 12, and 16. Race 7, number 1, Top Prospect, and 12, Fast Quest, 1 and 12. Race 8, number 1, Zioptimus, 14, Ticket to Fly, 15, Onslow, and 16, Wahiki Island, 1, 14, 15, and 16 from Race 8 at Port Macquarie. Muswellbrook, the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail true, penetrometer 4, and there are 17 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, number 2, Den Ace, 3, Sapphire's Sun, 10, Iconic Star, and 12, Turnstile, 2, 3, 10, and 12. Race 3, number 2, Encumbrance, 5, Velarade, and 13, Secretly, 2, 5, and 13. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, number 5, Nobody's Perfect, 9, The Cyprian, 17, Good Time Girl, and 18, Hell of a Tale, 5, 9, 17, and 18. Race 6 is clear. Race 7, take out 4, Belle de Vega, 8, Larynx, 11, Velocano, 12, Pretty Song, 14, East Esplanade, and 15, Chevron Prince. 4, 8, 11, 12, 14, and 15 out of race 7 at Muswellbrook. And the Sunshine Coast, the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is out 11 metres, penetrometer 6.63, and 37 scratchings. The first race is clear. Race 2, take out the emergencies 12, 13, 14 and 15, 12, 13, 14 and 15. Race 3, number 2, Viral, number 2. Race 4, number 9, Atlantic Rose, and the emergency number 12, 9 and 12. Race 5, number 1, Nick the Skip, 2, Curly Whirly Kenny, 3, Fury of the Storm, 5, Rumbarella, 7, Ganobe, 8, Hardly Me, 9, Stepping in Paint or Stepped in Paint, 10, Turmoil, Emergencies 12, 13 and 17. 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 and 17. Race 6, number 1, Viral, 12, Loves a Lottery and Emergency number 14, 1, 12 and 14. Race 7, take out 8, Loves a Lottery, 11, Tristrail, and the emergencies 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 and 19. So 8 and 11 and 14 through to 19. And race 8, numbers 3, Buffy, 7, Miss Severina, and the emergencies 12, 15, 16, 17, 18 and 19. 3, 7, 12, 15, 16, 17, 18 and 19 from race 8 at the Sunshine Coast.
Thanks, Tan. Port Macquarie, Warhope Cup Day today. Race 4, number 2, Patriot. Into race 5, number 3, Vaganza. In the Warhope Cup, race 7, I thought number 4, Cogliere, be hard to beat, James. At Muswellbrook, it's Aberdeen Cup Day. And I thought in race 5, number 3, Bellum. Into race 6, the Aberdeen Cup, number 6, Star Boy.
What's your best?
I think Star Boy in the Aberdeen Cup.
Star Boy in the Aberdeen Cup is
Brett
your best.
Kavanagh.
We
yep.
will put those out on social media as well. We've got the news chasing us right now. After the news, Zorba will get his thoughts in the world of rugby league, and we'll have a chat with Jenny Duggan after her win yesterday.
Sarah Woombe, a teenager, has been shot in the arm while on a hotel balcony in Surfers Paradise. Police believe the shot came from a neighbouring unit in the complex on the corner of Cavill Avenue and the Gold Coast Highway around 11 last night. The 18-year-old was hit in the upper arm and taken to the Gold Coast University Hospital for treatment. Anyone with information is being urged to contact police. Residents of an evacuated apartment complex in Sydney are unsure when they'll be allowed to return as engineers try to stop ongoing and persistent cracking. Mascot Towers was vacated on Friday night after engineers became increasingly concerned about cracks in the primary support structure and facade masonry of the decade-old building in the inner south suburb of Mascot. Property expert Jimmy Thompson has told the ABC engineers will try to find out if cost-cutting is to blame.
This is something that happens periodically where buildings are built to slightly lower standards. They're trying to save money, and every so often somebody crosses the line. Now, if that's what's happening cyclically with buildings of that age, then we'll see a lot more of this happening.
A driver from Port Pirie has become the second person banned for 6 months within 24 hours for driving on South Australia roads far in excess of the speed limit. The 28-year-old woman was allegedly clocked at 50 kilometres an hour over the speed limit on the Augusta Highway in the state's mid-north last night. The incident happened less than 24 hours after a P-plater was banned from driving for 6 months after allegedly being caught doing more than 100 kilometres an hour over the speed limit on the Horrocks Highway just north of Clare. A man has been charged with trafficking cannabis after more than 100 plants were found alongside packages of the drug in Tasmania. The 45-year-old was arrested after 107 cannabis plants and about 4.6 kilos of the drug were found at a Tasman Peninsula address on Friday. The man is expected to appear in court at a later date. US President Donald Trump is previewing his re-election campaign message on the anniversary of the day he descended the gilded escalator at Trump Tower to announce his unlikely candidacy. This time, the Republican has lots of funds in the bank and a professional organisation to back him, with the formal launch set for Tuesday in Orlando, Florida. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
There was a bit of a threat in an extended tweet storm by Donald Trump previewing his 2020 campaign that, quote, if anyone but me takes over in 2020, there will be a market crash the likes of which has not been seen before. Keep America great. That's in all capital letters. While incumbency and a solid economy are generally considered strong indicators that a president will be reelected, the problem for Donald Trump is that his credibility on delivering his promises is in shreds. His campaign has taken to claiming fake polls, as surveys around the U.S. indicate any Democrat would easily beat President Trump. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And a small congregation in white hard hats has attended Mass at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, the first service since fire devastated the Gothic landmark 2 months ago. This is Air News. Parramatta have stormed into the NRL's top eight with a ruthless 38-10 rout of Brisbane at Banquet Stadium, with Bronco Matt Gillett suffering a suspected broken nose. Penrith posted its fourth straight win, beating the Rabbitohs 19-18, and Melbourne thrashed Newcastle 34-4. St Kilda have prevailed in another AFL cliffhanger against the Gold Coast, beating the Suns by 4 points. The Saints overcame their own sloppiness and a ferocious start from the Suns to claw back from 31 points down in yesterday afternoon's third quarter to an 11-14-80 to 11-10-76. St Kilda's Luke Dunstan says after feeling the pressure from the Gold Coast, the game changed when the Saints' midfield stepped up.
We put it on our midfield a little bit at half-time just to get the ball going our way, and we felt the last 10 minutes of the second quarter we started to get good field position and we were able to lock it in. We just weren't scoring. So, yeah, we felt if we were able to get our clearance work going, we'd be able to get on top and hold the ball in our front half, which we did pretty well.
Wins also to the Dockers and Bulldogs. The Brumbies will stride into the Super Rugby finals on the back of their best winning streak in 12 years after beating the Queensland Reds 40-27 in Canberra. Supercar Supremo Scott McLaughlin says his car is fast enough to win Darwin's elusive Triple Crown after clinching yesterday's race one from pole position. And the Netherlands have beaten Cameroon 3-1 in the Women's World Cup. Australian Independent Radio News.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Celebrate Auburn Mega Mall's 20th birthday this weekend with great family fun and end of financial year deals from Fantastic Furniture, Freedom and more on Parramatta Road next to Hungry Jack's. In Fairlight, we've got flooding affecting Sydney Road at Bellevue Street at the moment. Exercise caution if you're in the area. In Pyrmont, roadworks are affecting traffic in both directions on Harris Street between William Henry and Quarry Streets. Diversions in place. And in Homebush to Strathfield, look out for changed traffic conditions on the M4 between Homebush Bay Drive and Parramatta Road. Target's mid-season event is now on with 20% off kids' denim jeans. That's 20% off a huge range of kids' denim jeans at Target. Offer ends June 26. Exclusions apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, it's end of financial year time, which means qualifying businesses can take advantage of the instant asset write-off tax deductions on eligible purchases less than $30,000 per item.
At Finlay.
Like a new TV for your boardroom or appliances for your office kitchen. Talk to your accountant and then talk to us.
And?
It's the Bingley end of financial year sale with huge deals store-wide.
That's right.
Don't miss the end of financial year sale at Bingley.
If you want a Group 1 greyhound like Poco Dorado, Blue Moon Rising or Veloce Nero, get along to the Gold Muzzle Puppy Auction at Richmond on Sunday, June the 23rd. Half brothers and sisters to these champions are up for sale, along with 100 of the best bred pups available, and all dogs sold can compete in the Golden Muzzle Race Series with over $100,000 in prize money. For more details, go to goldmuzzleauctions.com.au. Greyhound Racing, the affordable way to race a winner.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
And weather around Australia today. We'll start in Sydney. Showers, beautiful to see some rain, Jim. Top of 18 degrees today. In Melbourne, partly cloudy, a possible shower, 16 degrees. Brisbane, sorry, I forgot Brisbane last week. Won't forget them again. A few showers, possible storm, 23 degrees. Perth, showers and 19. Adelaide, mostly sunny, 17. Cool day in Hobart, partly cloudy and 14 degrees. The nation's capital, Canberra, cloudy, light morning frost, just 13 degrees. And in Darwin, sunny, 31 degrees.
Well, Marty and Moses, and he'll kick, and now there's chances of plenty. Oh, yeah. Chances of plenty! Hoffman has scored the fourth for Parramatta. A blue and gold wave was coming through to the Broncos in goal area.
Goes through Egan, Maloney. Jagged defensive line and makes them pay and levels it up at 6 each.
Cleary, Pierce combination. Here's an intercept for Munster. Now Munster be...
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, it sure is. Zorba very shortly. Jenny Duggan as well. Event Cinema's quiz. Score update, Raymond.
12-11 your way.
Correct. Yeah. Jared Daffy from Tab. And we'll also have a chat with Phil Moss with all the Women's World Cup that's going on. Lots of things happening on and off the field for the world of football. By the way, our legend of the game today is Terry Hill.
Tezza.
Australian, New South Wales representative, played for a number of footy clubs, most famously probably for Manly in that great side of the late 90s. They were almost unbeatable there for a couple of seasons.
He was. He did a lot of Lowe's ads and appeared on Channel 9.
And was the reason that the internal and external draft was thrown out of court.
It was a restraint of trade. It went all the way to the High Court, didn't it?
Court, exactly. He played for the Roosters for a year when he was contracted to the Western Suburbs Magpies. So we'll talk to him about that. Our talk topic today is breakthrough victories on the back of the Toronto Raptors. And this comes in. It's a groundbreaking win whenever Ray wins the quiz.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking whenever Jimmy wins it. No name on that one, but anyway. Morning, boys. Is Jimmy agreeing with Adrian a breakthrough or a backflip? Cheers. Manly Man Al. Well, you can't play the man. You've got to play the ball, Manly Man Al.
That's actually a good point for Manly Man Al.
No. If Adrian comes up with a good idea, and let's all just think about that for a little while. If Adrian comes up with a good idea, you've got to acknowledge it.
That's true. This is from Mitch from Tamworth. Was listening to the show on my run to collect the car and had to stop and play the Neil Danaher clip. Now convincing myself on the drive home that the tears in my eyes are from running into the stiff breeze. It's a sort of inspirational thing that when you watch it, it's hard not to be moved by it, Jim.
And the other thing I've taken out of that, Mitch, is that you running this morning to collect the car, which suggested you had too many to drink last night. Too many to drive last night and couldn't get it on that occasion. Anyway, I could be wrong, but we'll go with that one. And 2005, the West Tigers' first merged club to win the premiership. That's Matt from Yass. And Priscilla says, what did Jimmy say to Judy? Bex or sex? let me clarify very clearly here, Priscilla. Bex and a good lie down. That's what I've prescribed for Judy. Now, I tell you what, speaking of bloke who's getting mentions left, right and centre. Last week he was wearing the number 6 jersey in the 15-1, the commentator. Now they're talking about an NRL Media Hall of Fame and Zorba's name is right near the top of the list.
Quite rightly so.
Let's get his thoughts on what's happening in the game in 2019. Morning, Zorb.
Good morning, boys. How are you, Jimmy? Ray, talking about Terry Hill. Best sledger I've seen in the game, and it's been some good ones. He came back.
Yes.
Came back to play for Manly. He was fat and overweight, and they got Donnie Singe to run him around the hills at Beacon Hill for a long time to get him fit to come back in around 2003, I think it was.
It was actually 2005.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Flying over in New Zealand, and his first game back was against the Warriors. Well, he drove a certain Warriors player that mad that he just kept getting penalty after penalty for his side, Terry, because he was sledging him. And then he went for a rest on the bench and he kept sledging him. Well, the Kiwi went over to the bench to take Terry on. And that's how mad he got him. He got him to come over to the bench and he said, listen, I'm an old man. Just go back on the field and play your game, will you?
We can ask him about that. We'll look forward to having a chat a little bit later on. Hey, the Blues, mate. They're on the run, Zorb.
I don't like this. It's a huge day in rugby league today with enormous pressure on Brad Fittler to come up with a side to beat Queensland in Perth next Sunday. Incredibly, it's been leaked that Fittler is going to name Mitchell Pearce and Nathan Cleary as the 6 and 7, but surely it's got to be a smokescreen. If it's not, then Brad's going to put himself under the pump. I mean, there's no need to go that extravagant. I don't think it'll work. I think it's too much pressure on both players. Pearce to come with a rookie beside him in terms of origin who's not a 5'8", and to ask him to run the show, I don't think it'll work. But the players and the coaches aren't the only ones under the pump. So too is Fox Sports reporter James Hooper. Now, Hooper broke the Pearce Cleary's story. If it's right, he'll earn massive brownie points. If not, he could be selling ice creams or driving an Uber like other former rugby league TV identities. Hooper has had some running criticism of stories broken by the Daily Telegraph's duo of Buzz Rossfield and Bulldog Richie in recent weeks on air. And it's been clear to anyone viewing it that there's more than a little bad blood between them. The message went out for him to stop bagging others and break a few stories. Magically, he has. But he'll be waiting anxiously for the announcement of the side. If it's true, I'm declaring Queensland a certainty. It'll be a desperate decision, doomed for failure.
I know we're a little bit introspective looking at this because we work in the media, but he had a blow-up with Paul Ken on 360 the other night as well, James Hooper.
Yeah. Yeah, right. These are guys that are breaking stories every day. Mm-hmm. What started as a dream start to Brad Fittler's return to coaching could end up as a nightmare. Mm. It's being mooted today that there could be up to 7 changes, and a couple of them through injuries, with several players unavailable for New South Wales. But that's a lot of changes. And meanwhile, back on the farm, Queensland are going to pick just about the same side.
They'll be giggling.
Yeah. Well, so changes, I guess, need to be made, don't they? Which changes would you make for the Blues team for Origin 2?
Well, I would bring Pearce in, and if I didn't bring Pearce in, I'd leave Cleary at half and bring Maloney in at 5-8. I thought that he played really well in the Panthers' win over the Rabbitohs. He was good the week before. He's good in a clutch situation. If Brad's going to stick with Cleary, then he's got to stick with Maloney as well, because they play well together. I just fear we're in trouble. Mm. Daniel Saifidi in the front row, give me a break. And the Dogs are barking that today.
Yeah.
I thought he came back to earth with a bang last night against the Melbourne Storm. I don't think he's ready for Origin. He'd be thrown to the Wolves as well. I like Wade Graham coming back.
Yes.
And I would like to see Ryan Madison in there somewhere as well. But I'm not liking the look of this. It's a short preparation. There'll be 2 sessions and a captain's run, and I'm not convinced that's going to be enough for Fittler to get this combination going.
In my mind, it's Cleary or Pearce, not Cleary and Pearce.
I agree.
And here's the other thing I was thinking about when we're talking about, okay, Dave Clemmer's broken his wrist, so let's get the next New South Wales front rower up there. I'll give you these 6 names and tell me which one wouldn't walk into the New South Wales side as a replacement for Clemmer. So you see Siwa Taukeiaho, Jesse Bromwich, Nelson Asifa-Solomona, Marty Tapau, Adam Fanua-Blake, and Andrew Fifita. Mm. All of them unavailable because they play for other countries.
Mm. I'd go Matt Lodge.
Yeah, I tell you what, Laurie Daly,
I'd go Lodge.
Laurie made a really good point the other day. He's a bit of a catcher in defence as opposed to a hitter. He carries the ball well.
That's what
he
you need,
carry
isn't
the ball
it?
Well, and I think that's our problem.
That's what we need, yeah.
Well, I think that's our problem. I'd go with Lodge. You put both of them on the market, Saifidi and Lodge. You tell me who they're going to go for.
Mm. Saifidi. Oh, absolutely. Oh, the other one I missed out, Jared Warrior-Hargreaves.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about Dale Finucane? Why isn't he being mentioned?
No, he doesn't get a look in, does he?
He does get mentioned. He was getting mentioned, and I'd love to see him get a start,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
Because you could then push Jake. I'd start with Payne Haas. Push Jake up into the front row when Payne Haas comes off and put Finucane into the middle there as well. Anyway, Callum Watkins to the Titans. This is a bit of a surprise. He's in veteran status now.
This is incredible. I mean, I don't know who's tipping to the Titans. If it's Mel Meninga, then Mel needs to get a reality check. If it's not, then that person... Like, Callum Watkins, Manly tried to buy him 10 years ago. We first saw him play in the 2009 World Club Challenge, I think it was. And he was an 18-year-old, and he was brilliant. And since then, he's been a really, really good player. But he's one of those players that needed to come early in his career, and he could have gone back and been one of the greats of the modern era in England, Callum Watkins. Brilliant young player, but he's well past his best now. Leeds Rhinos can't beat time at the moment.
Yeah.
And he'll be joining... He'll be joining the Gold Coast Titans, I think, as early as next week at age 28. a lot of football behind him, a lot of rip football behind him, and if the Titans are thinking that he's going to be their answer to their current problems, they're way off them. Too late, 10 years too late, really.
Mm. Hey, Zorba, were texting last night. Parramatta had one of those games when they were white hot. Reid Mahoney, our dummy half, had a blinder. Corey Oates, he'll probably come out in Origin 2 and have a blinder again
for
Queensland.
He'll score an unbelievable try.
But his handling, he had a shocker last night, didn't he?
He did have a shocker, and he really, on that form, you think that he'd be out of the Queensland side, but they'll stick, and it'd be a major shock if he isn't on the left flank for Kevin Walters' side for Origin 2. He'll be there. But if Walters wanted to change, he's got a ready-made replacement in the Cowboys star, Kyle Felt, who is back after, I think he's only had six games back. He's had a serious injury. I know he's a right wing specialist, but he's such a good footballer that he could just about play anywhere. Unlike Oates, he's bulletproof in all aspects of the game. Six games back, already back as one of the best wingers in the game, and they can produce a winger or two, the Queensland Maroons, at the moment.
Oh, he does freakish things, doesn't he, Kyle Felt? What about
every game.
Mr. Reliable, isn't he?
Andrew Fifita, will he play for Tonga?
Well, this is interesting. A few years back, remember, barrister Jeff Bellew was the go-to legal representative for all clubs. They sought when they wanted a star player to escape suspension, and more times than not, Jeff Bellew got them off. Brilliant young lawyer. Of course, Bellew then went to the Supreme Court as the youngest Supreme Court judge in Australia, but he retains his association with rugby league as a judiciary chairman. And, of course, don't forget a great family history with rugby league. His dad, Tom, was chairman of the Australian Rugby League and New South Wales Rugby League for a period when the game needs some stability. Before he left to go to the Supreme Court, Bellew handpicked a young up-and-coming lawyer to take over his business with the NRL clubs. And that young lawyer was Nick Gabar. Now, Gabar will represent Andrew Fifita via video link for Fifita's dangerous contact charge, and he faces up to three games suspension if he doesn't win this appeal. Sitting in the chairman's position for the NRL, hearing the case, will be none other than Jeffrey Bellew, senior counsel.
So, all right. Okay. What are you suggesting?
Well, I'm just suggesting that it's a real twist from being recommended, and now they'll be on opposite sides in this one.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, who would believe that could happen?
Well, I would, because he's a very astute man, Jeff Bellew.
Oh, he certainly is.
I've met
a great
him
man
a number of times in your company. Mm. Absolutely. Now, what about the Dogs?
What's happening there?
I'm really disappointed in this. The Bulldogs are looking like they lay down the Zares for the Wooden Spooners.
Yes.
But off the field, the famous family club is also losing its luster. This week, I noticed the veteran official Arthur Coorey was awarded an MBE for services to rugby league, and in particular, the Dogs. He's a life member of the Canterbury Leagues Club and the Bulldogs Football Club. His association with the club goes back, as an official, I think something like 30 to 40 years. I phoned Arthur this week to congratulate him on his recognition, unaware that he doesn't go to games anymore with the Bulldogs. He doesn't feel welcomed by the current administration. He's not bitter, but he's disappointed. His old mate, Peter Moore, the godfather of the Bulldogs, would be absolutely devastated. They're very close. They've got rid of a lot of terrific officials in recent years. And, of course, in recent times when their board has changed, a lot of the former players that were involved with that board are no longer on the right side of the ledger there at the Bulldogs either.
Well, they got some real problems.
Including
on
George Papanis.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, who would have believed that you know, George is
club legend.
Is he what? Mm. And I just think that's not what the Bulldogs are all about.
Well, they're $4 outsiders today against the Roosters. Tell me they're not in your zapper. 10.5?
No, I'm going Roosters today.
Right.
I'm going Roosters, Manly, Queensland, triple treat.
Oh, hang on. We love the triple treat. Manly,
yeah,
Roosters.
Yeah, all of the line. Yeah, I'm convinced now New South Wales won't win that game. Not with what's going to happen. There's too many people know about the side. I don't know why the leaks have come out. I would have thought that Pittler would have played his cards close to his chest on this one. As you say, we're closed in on the media. I can't understand how Fox Sports can produce a scoop of the nature they did this week through James Hooper, when Pittler indeed works for Channel 9. If I was the boss at 9, I'd be asking questions. I mean, it's so deep-seated, this. Mm. Like, I don't know if we've all been conned. Maybe it's a con.
I thought exactly the same thing. Brad Pittler works for Channel 9, but then again, Danny Badiris and Greg Alexander work for Fox.
What are the odds for Game 2 State of Origin?
Yeah.
$2. Queensland were $2.20. They're now into $2. New South Wales, $1.85.
Still favourites. Ridiculous.
Yeah. How can we be favourites?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Do it responsibly is all I'll say. Load up responsibly.
Well, I can't wait for the team tonight. Who do you reckon is the most nervous person in New South Wales today? I reckon it's got to be James Hooper. He's put everything on the line here, and he must have the thumbs up on it, or he wouldn't. I mean, he's an experienced judo. He would not put his neck on the line if indeed he wasn't given the right information. But who leaked it? Who leaked it? If it wasn't Brad Pittler, who leaked it?
Good question, Zorb. Another question to ask.
Never know the answer.
We will never know the answer. You never give up a source.
What's that song about the finger of suspicion? Points at you?
We'll wait and see who's playing the tune tonight. Good on you, Zorb.
See you, boys.
See you, Pete. Zorb. I tell you what, he doesn't want to... Just see that pin coming out of the hand grenade just before he lobbed
it. Throw a few lobs.
Absolutely. 13:53:53. We'll take your thoughts on that. We'll take your thoughts on anything else we've covered here today. Zorba.
Almost. He's right. That almost smacks of desperation. If they make wholesale changes to a team beaten by 4 points in game one, that we're in control for large portions of that first half.
New South Wales are on the run.
Jeez.
And yet they're still favourites with Tab.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. Jenny Duggan, up next.
50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2023. Harvey Norman, massive half yearly clearance. Furniture, bedding in Manchester. Home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum finance amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 50 months interest free store wide. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2023. Harvey Norman, massive half yearly clearance on now.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3, or 2-1-3, or 1-3-2, or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, it's end of financial year time, which means qualifying businesses can take advantage of the instant asset write-off tax deductions on eligible purchases less than $30,000 per item.
At Bingley.
Like a new TV for your boardroom or appliances for your office kitchen. Talk to your accountant and then talk to us.
And?
It's the Bingley end of financial year sale with huge deals store-wide.
That's right.
Don't miss the end of financial year sale at Bingley.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3, or 2-1-3, or 1-3-2, or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Comes up to help the mid-court near Sackers. Goes inside, and the Sunshine Coast Lightning have reclaimed possession. They're on the drive now, led by Langman, their Silver Fern superstar.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Just before we get to Jenny Duggan, back to back, the Sunshine Coast Lightning looking to go back to back to back. On Twitter, at Big Sports WEND, Fats says, bit harsh of Ray to say the ARL's venture into Perth didn't work. The Western Reds are victim of the Super League war. Quite right. Perth has a strong local league competition, perfect fit for TV, franchise in Perth, a must for the NRL.
Now, that is a very good point. The time aspect and the TV aspect's outstanding.
Totally.
So, no, I stand corrected. Fair point. Rosehill, yes, so we mentioned earlier, Jim, it was a terrific afternoon for a couple of reasons. I can't remember ever where two mothers have both ridden winners on the program, and it was great to see Jenny Duggan back in the Sydney Saturday winners list on River Bird. I know she has to ride at Muswellbrook today, but she's been good enough to join us on the line. Jenny, good morning, and well, firstly, congratulations on the win on River Bird, and it was a pretty tight finish. That mare did not give up, did she?
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Yeah. Great things. No, she was very tough, and I thought that's how she would race. Looking at her previous starts where she's been really gallant in defeat, she just always seems to do her best work late, so I was really hoping for that yesterday, which she produced.
Yeah, and she only just broke a maiden last month, didn't she?
Mm.
Yeah, she did, but I just think, you know, it's just been the luck of the draw for her. Like, she needs to be sort of smothered up and then produced late, and you know, horses like that, it's easy for them to be unlucky, which she probably has been.
Yeah, and Jason Call has placed her very well. Jenny, I asked you yesterday, when was your last Sydney Saturday winner, and you couldn't remember, and that's fair enough, because a lot's happened in those last 4 or 5 years, hasn't there, Jen?
Yeah, I'm still suffering the effects of baby brain, I think, but I had a little bit of a look last night, and I think it was actually 2012 Pentasia.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. Okay, so 7 years. But then you did have a knee injury in 2013 or 14 by memory. You took a long time off to recover from a knee reconstruction. But in that time also, you had another two children. You've got three young kids at home now.
Yeah, that's correct. I have two little boys that are 4 and 2. And then I also have a stepdaughter, Madeline, who's 10.
Yeah,
it's right. It's a full house.
Full house. Full book too of things to do. How does the household work? Because I can know from first hand, 4 and 2 year olds,
they take plenty of work.
Fair bit of work involved in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's controlled chaos all the time, but my husband does great. I mean, I suppose, as you know, it's probably not as easy for the father to step in and do what all mothers do, maybe, if that's fair enough to say. And but you know, he does such a great job, and he also does my booking, so it can get complicated, but you've got to do your best with what you got, and you know, support from trainers, owners, my boss Adam Duggan, like, I just can't thank everyone enough for, you know, how it all comes together. So you're never a one-man band in this game, as you know.
Yeah, and the accolades are coming too. Racing New South Wales Rising Star, was that
over the series and the season, so Jenny won the most points, hence the trophy.
So you're an overnight sensation after a decade.
Yeah, I suppose that's putting it into perspective. That's correct. Yeah,
Jenny.
But to be recognised in that fashion, Jenny, it must be very rewarding.
Oh, very rewarding. That's for sure. I mean, you know, you do all us jockeys do. You do a lot of miles and k's and sometimes it's just nice to get something at the end of the line, isn't it? So, yeah, I was really thrilled about it.
Yeah. Jenny, you mentioned your husband, Ben, what a wonderful job he does behind the scenes. After you had your second child during that period, you were out of the game. When did that goal to get back in the saddle become a realistic one for you, given, obviously, the demands of motherhood?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest. I think it was just I wasn't ever coming back. I remember, you know, packing my race gear up and almost shedding a little tear, thinking that, oh, you know, this will probably never happen again. And then I sort of got back to riding work when Sebastian, the youngest one, was about 9 months. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I suppose it's just in your blood. I mean, look at Sammy, for instance. She, you know, she broke her back and had, you know, also hurdles to come across, and she's back. So I just think it's one of them things where you can't really stop it, and you never finish until you say so yourself. I suppose that's how it is.
Mm. Jenny, what's more difficult, trying to find a run for the 500 kilogram beast that you're on with a wall of horses in front of you as you come round the straight at Rosehill Gardens, or taking on witching hour with a 4 and a 2 year old when there's bathing, feeding, all that to be done?
I know what Jimmy will say here,
work.
Jenny, don't worry.
Can you give us a score out of 10 for each of those?
Oh my God, it's a trick question, isn't it? Like, I mean, it can be 100% more testing than any horse will ever be. So yeah, I think the horses are definitely the easier option.
Yeah. Correct enough. Answer, actually, Jenny. Yeah, exactly. You've won a prize here this morning for that.
Yeah. And, Jenny, as we know, racing never stops, and it's fantastic that success is coming your way. And I know you're off to Muswellbrook today with four pretty good rides up there.
Yeah, got some really nice chances there today. I've got a couple for Brett Kavanagh and a few for my boss, Adam Duggan. They're all really good chances, so I'm hoping for a good day.
Which is your best?
I mean, I really like Take the Heart. She's probably one of my favourite horses, and I won the maiden honour when she was a two-year-old, and I think I really like her today, but she's stepping back in distance. That's probably my only query, but... yeah, I really like her.
Okay, race 7, number 6, Take to Heart, and is listed as a $6 chance, Jenny, congratulations on that win yesterday. Great to have you on the program, and I'm no doubt we'll have you again very shortly.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jenny.
Jenny Duggan there, and a win for her yesterday, and a couple of good rides today, Roman.
Great story.
All into perspective.
She basically thought her career was over in terms of riding, and then... she couldn't scratch. She had to get back into it.
Had to get back into it, and that's where the love of horses comes into play, doesn't it? Love of what you're doing. Groundbreaking wins is what we're looking for. Sporty Gav from Newcastle says, guys, for the talk topic, the Knights, the premiership victory in 1997 against Manly. Yeah, I guess for all Novocastrians, that's a very hard one to go past.
And Mark from Muswellbrook, another very good point. Perth also has a ready-made rectangular stadium, thanks to the once mighty Australian Rugby Union.
Good point, Mark. Can I also make a comment on the fact that Todd Greenberg ran his counterpart at Rugby Australia, Raylene Castle, and said, you know, back off Kalyn Ponga. Is he kidding?
It's competition.
You're kidding, aren't you? Raylene would have said, oh, good on you, Todd. Thanks for the call, pal.
What Todd should do is try and make sure, what your point you raised last Sunday, just make sure he's locked in.
Got to make him stay. Got to make him stay. Let's go to the callers. Gary's on the line. G'day, Gary.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Morning, really well, bud.
Mate, a little whinge about the Origin the other night. Great game, great result. Not going to moan about the price of everything there. Everyone gets a shot at that anyway.
Yeah.
But my experience, I took my two sons and my two grandsons. I did a family pass there, and myself being an old fella got a concession, which was great.
Yep.
Now, Ticket Tech did the right thing, and they sent us a confirmation. We're in all 333, seats 11 to 15.
Yep.
We print them off, had a brief look at the 11 to 15, didn't take any notice of the aisles. Two of the tickets are in aisle 334. Two are in 333.
Right.
Okay. Could live with that because they're going to be right beside us and behind us, right?
Yes.
Except... we've all piled into 333, not looking at the tickets properly. The confirmation from Ticket Tech said, 333.
Yes.
Happy with that. But then I spend the first 10 minutes of the game arguing with a steward because we're in the wrong seats, and those other seats in 334 were booked to someone else.
Mm.
So what they've done is taken the two grandsons up and stood them up on the concourse until they could find them two seats together, down the end of the aisle away from us.
Yeah.
Mate, in all seriousness, these blokes, they couldn't organise a nookie in a knock shop with a pistol.
Okay, thanks very much, Gary. Look, I don't think we're the Ticket Tech complaint line. I do take your point about you wanting to sit with your son and your grandsons. I totally understand
that.
Yes,
the moral of that story is check your tickets.
Check your tickets. And you know what? If they didn't take you out and someone else came in, they'd be in trouble for not taking you to your correct seat. So can't win on that one. Sorry, Gaz, not with you there. 13:53:53. Dougie's on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you all?
Good morning, Doug.
Well. What about those Panthers? Four on the trot, Dougie?
Yeah, and Tyron Peachy. Will he be coming back to Penrith?
Oh, dogs are barking, aren't they?
That is the mail. That is the mail.
He never really wanted to go, did he? I know he signed the contract, but he was almost trying to get out of it at one stage, wasn't he, to go to the Gold Coast?
Yeah.
So he might be back, Doug.
And Penrith winning the grand final against Canberra. Long time ago.
Yeah, 91. Raymond was talking about that. What were you doing then? Were you studying for exams or anything,
Raymond?
No, I wasn't,
but I did go to Panthers that night. And
did you?
You couldn't move in the place.
Did you have a beer with Royce?
No, I didn't.
I did.
Oh, well done, Doug.
You did, Dougie?
You, Doug?
Yeah, I know. He's from Gillagong, near Falls.
I thought he was a Cowra man, Royce.
No, he's from Gillagong.
Gillagong, is he?
He's from out of Butchers, I think.
All right. I always thought he was a cowboy. But anyway, you're probably right, Dougie. Good on you, mate. Thanks for the call.
That was his famous line, wasn't it? I'm going to have a beer with everyone at Panthers tonight.
Everyone is. Yeah, he's still working on that. He's still working on it. 1353-53. That's the number you need to call if you'd like to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. Score update?
12-11, James Smith on top.
Yeah, by the way, I still owe you and Moss.
You do, by the way.
Should have brought it in today.
Is Mossy coming in today?
He's on the phone. Or he's got a segment.
Well, that's the first thing he'll be asking you. Where is his carton of beer?
Call now if you'd like to be a part of Event Cinemas Quiz, 1353-53.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do. Thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges, or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
Customers love our coffee, but we just can't keep up with the morning rush. I need more hands on deck.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you hire more employees, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian proudly offer a quality yearling filly by Zoostar, the hottest young sire in Australia, champion first crop sire and now leading second crop sire. Our filly is from Moon to French, a stakes winner and Group 1 place to champion mare Zenyatta. And our filly's had four siblings to race, all winners. Join our dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this fabulous filly at $12,885 per share. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2023. Harvey Norman massive half yearly clearance. Furniture, bedding in Manchester. Home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum finance amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 50 months interest free store wide. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2023. Harvey Norman massive half yearly clearance on now.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Another groundbreaking win, St. Louis Blues in the Stanley Cup. We didn't make mention of that. Just before we go to our Event Cinemas, how'd Carlton go last night?
Oh, you had to bring it up. 5 goals in time on, just missed by 3 points against the Dogs.
How many points do they get for that?
Zero.
Event Cinema's newest luxury experience, Event Boutique, is now open, an intimate cinema with a boutique vibe. Designer recliners, the best cinema sound and picture, service at your seat, coupled with a bespoke menu created in collaboration with Vic's Meats and Sonoma Bakery. Immerse yourself in a designer experience this weekend. Paparazzi and the library are now open at Event Cinemas at George Street. We've got photos.
How good does it look?
Doesn't it? Magnificent.
Wow.
This, you know what this smells of to me?
What?
Precash all over this.
Entrepreneur extraordinaire.
I think he's walked in there and said, look, this is what we're doing. Here's my vision.
Oh, mate, can you imagine?
Go with me.
No wonder his star is just rising through the corporate world.
Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. What do you want to be, Raymond? Player one or player two?
Player two.
No, well, you go player one.
Okay. I think Guy's on the line. Guy, good morning.
G'day, fellas. How are we?
Terrific. How you feeling, Guy? Confident, mate?
Oh, mate, I've been on here twice. I got none from three once, and I had a victory the second time. So I'm feeling a little bit confident today.
Ah, outstanding. Here we go. I need a win, Guy. So here we go. Question number one. Which Queenslander made the most tackles in State of Origin 1?
Josh Maguire.
It's actually Benny Hunt playing out of hooker. There you go.
80 minutes.
Question number two. Here we go, Guy. How many sets did Ash Barty lose in winning the French Open singles title? It's a multiple choice. A, was it 2 sets? B, 3, C, 4?
I'll go 2.
Yep, it was just 2 sets. One of those was in the final. And question number three, who won the last FIFA Women's World Cup in 2015? A, Brazil. B, France. C, United States of America.
Go to the state.
Spot on, Guy. Well done. 2 out of 3. Solid, mate. Stay on the line, Guy.
Good on you, Guy. Well done. Paul.
Game on here, James.
Yeah, righto. Well, look at you today. Have a look at you.
Game on.
Actually, I'm not even going to call you sneaky competitive now. You're
overtly competitive.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Paul.
How are you going, guys?
How are you, Paul? Mate. Are you ready for this, Paul?
Oh, I hope so.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. Question one.
Pressure's on, Paul.
Ash Barty has now won 2 Grand Slam titles. At which Grand Slam did she win her doubles title?
I'm going to say the Australian Open.
Oh. Needed that, Paul. US Open 2018. Question two. Who was the top money earner on Forbes 2019 list of the world's 100 highest paid athletes? Was it A, Roger Federer, B, Floyd Mayweather, or C, Lionel Messi?
I'll say Mayweather.
Used to be, yeah.
I don't think he had that fight. He had that. He didn't have that fight. It would have been outside of 2019. Yeah that was 2018. Yeah.
2 years in a row he was, but now the new highest paid sportsman is
Lionel Messi, 127 million.
It's a fair whack.
In a team sport.
It's a fair whack.
In a team sport. Pains me to say it. Well done, Guy.
Well done, Guy.
Hey, Ray.
Yes, Guy.
Last time I had me victory was with you too, mate. So
well,
ring up again. We're sticking together, brother.
I like your work, Guy. Hey, Guy, where do you live,
let
mate?
Me assure you, Guy.
Let
me assure you. Hang on, Guy. Let me assure
here we
you.
Go, here we go.
If you ring up again, you're thousands to get on the quiz. You need to change your name, change your number. If I were you, I'd change your district.
No, I live in Newcastle, guys.
Enough said.
My sister lives in Newcastle, lovely part of the world.
It is.
Event Cinema quiz up there, isn't there, Guy?
Yes, mate, it certainly is.
Terrific.
What, an Event Cinema quiz? What, they sit
Event
around
cinema,
all the time?
Cinemas, Event Cinema's up there.
Anyway, look, get off the line, Guy.
Well done, Guy. Congratulations, mate.
Good on you. Get off the line. Well done. Congratulations. We might or might not send out the tickets to
We will be sending out tickets to
you. Well done. So he's played 3 times now. So that's not right.
Well, that's okay. You're entitled to ring up if you get through. Good luck to you.
Jared Daffy is there from TAB. We get this in from Herb. Jared, good morning to you, mate.
Morning, boys.
If Queensland wrap up the series in Perth, what price will New South Wales Blues go up in Game 3? $1.10? I know they won't be $1.10, but I take his point.
What do you mean if?
Sorry, Whisperer. Sorry, Kevy.
Oh, they'll be winning over there. No, they'll be favourites because, of course, it doesn't matter. But you know what? Queensland, they'd love a clean sweep.
Oh, and right. Hang on. You're getting ahead of yourself now. You've got to win the second one to get the clean sweep. You understand that, right?
I'm aware of that. And actually, the betting on that, I was surprised at the opening quote. I'm still surprised that Queensland are outsiders. They're $2 outsiders and New South Wales, $1.85. It appears as though panic stations have set in. just reading the papers and multiple changes to that New South Wales squad, Jimmy.
He's been
concerned about that.
You know what? I've already tipped Queensland to win State of Origin. Wayne Bennett must sit back here and
just laugh.
Just giggle.
Seriously.
Now he's down in Sydney, he must think, what on earth are these blokes doing?
Mm. You know what? Our Queensland listeners, and there's plenty of them, thousands, tens of thousands of them can see through you, James. Everybody knows that you hate Queensland and every aspect of it, yet you've gone out of your way since your radio show is now beamed into Queensland to tip them in Game 2.
Yeah.
Actually, he's been spruiking
them. Strategic.
Spruiking them for a while, actually,
Jared. You know what, Jared?
He tried to get me to back him before Game 1, and I said, I can't do that.
Self-interest, Jared.
Hey, but, Jared, on that point, why is it that Queensland never come up as favourites?
Well, I have no idea, Ray. I suppose part of the reason for this one is that the bookies are all New South Wales based. They're biased.
It's ridiculous.
But from what we saw in Game 1, I would have thought at the very best it could be take your pick, and given it's in neutral territory over there in WA, and I think the crowd will be behind Queensland anyway, because everybody hates New South Wales.
that's true, you know.
That's something in their favour as well. But yeah, they're out. I'm tipping they won't start $2 outsiders.
No, probably not. All right, enough of that. But let's move past that. What about the two NRL games today?
Manly, $1.55. The Dragons at $2.50, a line of 4.5 points. So not much doing there. That's pretty much where they've been all week.
$5, man.
They can't be two. They're a good $2.50 option.
Absolutely.
Can't argue with that. Yeah. And in the other game, well, we've got, well, Tedesco's out of that Rooster side.
Yes.
So their price has blown there, $1.26. You could have got $5.50 to Bulldogs. They're into $4. The handicap was 13.5. It's into 10.5 now, and that plus $1.80. So they might not win, but they might be competitive.
Mm.
And Melbourne Storm back into second picks to win the title. Roosters $3.25. Melbourne $4.50. South out to $5. Canberra and Cronulla at 13, and then 23 or better for the rest. Penrith at $23.
Four on the trot. I'll tell you what, the way South played last night, minus all those players, was actually a good sign.
That's a good young talent coming through, haven't they?
And am I right in saying, Jared, you just said the line moved 3 points on the news that James Tedesco wasn't playing?
That's right.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Well, you're such these an special players. So just one game in the AFL today, Jared, North v the Giants.
Yeah, and this one in Hobart where North Melbourne do play very, very well. They seem good odds to me, Ray. They're $2.50. The Giants $1.55. We've got a line there of 10.5 points.
Yeah, still got Giants here, though.
I got a mate here who just said, Jimmy, any idea how the golf is going? So, yeah, well, let's put some markets up. Gary Woodland has, I think he's just teed off, hasn't he?
He's on the third, I think.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got it on in front of me, but it looks like some of these guys who were well up in the betting may not have played too well, because Gary Woodland's actually favourite right now.
Yeah.
At $4.50 ahead of Koepka at $5, then Justin Rose $7, Rory McIlroy $8, and then $11 or better for the rest. So that market's actually open all the way through, and at the completion of the day's play, boys, most of those other markets open as well. So if you're watching it, and there's still several hours to go, there's a market open all the time.
Brooks Koepka is 2 under through 7, 6 under, 3 out from Woodland, and we know what sort of form he's in.
Exactly. Hey, Jared, Australia are humming along beautifully in the Cricket World Cup over there in England. Another big win overnight against Sri Lanka. Finch in tremendous form. Stark and Cummings doing the job with the ball. We play Bangladesh on Thursday. Still England favourite to win the tournament?
Yeah, they are. They're $3 ahead of India at $3.25 and then Australia $4. So there hasn't really been any change. Well, there hasn't been any change to the order there. Then $7.50 for the Kiwis. So I think you're going to lock that in as your top four. Mm-hmm. I know we've got a few matches to go. But, yeah, Australia seem pretty good odds to me, Ray. We've got one game on tonight. India $1.42, Pakistan at $2.90. And you did mention that match on Thursday night. Well, red hot favourites, as you would expect. Australia $1.15 and $5.50 for Bangladesh.
Now, we're a little bit worried here about the Matildas. We were looking at it going, oh, yeah, well, it seems pretty straightforward, but it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, they have to. What if Brazil get a jag a draw? A win against Italy. The for and against is not good.
It's tough. But what about if Australia beat Jamaica by 20 goals?
We need to have a big win, but if just say we don't and Brazil actually beat Italy,
then we've got a problem, Ray.
Correct.
Jimmy was right. So that game on Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning, Australia $1.03, Jamaica $41. And the draw there at $13, there's a lot of short price favourites coming up. But, yeah, let's hope the girls can get the job done.
Yeah.
Win big, girls, if you're listening.
Yeah. I'm sure they are. Love the program.
I'm sure they are.
have we clarified anything there with that?
Brazil's goal difference is...
What's their goal difference?
I think they're 2 more than Australia, I think. So
right. We'll pick that up, Ray.
They win by 3 or more just to make a bird.
Just Brazil win 1-0 against Italy. When's their game? Are they on before? Yeah, Australia will know.
They
kick off at the same
time.
They kick
off at the same time, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning.
Oh, right. Okay, all right.
Whatever happened, we've got to win big, as Jared said.
Yeah, oh. That's great final instructions from Coach Thomas. There you go. Go out there and win big.
Well, they're going
to
have to.
We hope everyone does it over the course of today and the next couple of days. Wins big and the tab has to pay out a lot. Don't we, Jared?
No comment.
Jared's job's on the line when you say things like that.
But the punters, they can win a little bit. A little bit.
Right.
Not much, just a little bit.
Right, fair enough. Keeps us all going, doesn't it? Yeah,
that's
right.
It.
Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys.
There he is,
Jared
Daffy from TAB. All right, up next, we thought he was in the building. We always get word of this late, but we need to be careful around that. Let's go now to Phil Moss, given the fact we were just talking some footy. Hello, Mossy.
Hello, Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, really well. Dare I ask?
The football segment's just been done.
Yeah,
well, Jeremy, well, you've got it all covered.
No, tell you what, though, Phil, can you clear it up for us? We've got everyone confused, all listeners as well. What do the Matildas have to do, is it Friday morning, Jim, against Jamaica to make sure they get through?
Wednesday
morning.
Wednesday or Friday, whenever they play, Phil.
Well, let's start with worst case. Worst case scenario, we need a draw, and we go through as one of the fourth best place, third place getters.
Okay.
So that's the okay. So that's the joker card.
Right.
We don't want to rely on that one, of course. Mm-hmm. The real permutations are around finishing first or second. To finish first, we'd need a goal difference turnaround of +7. So we'd need Brazil to dust Italy, and we'd have to put on a big score against Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
To finish second, we would need to beat Jamaica by 2 goals. And it makes a massive difference, because if we were to finish third in the group, there's a possibility of meeting host France in the first knockout game. To finish second, we'd be a big chance of probably meeting someone like Norway, who look like finishing runners up in Group A. So there's a lot at stake. But let's not put the cart before the horse. These are all our permutations as pundits. But really, what's important is a strong win against Jamaica, a strong performance, and tightening up defensively. Because even the game against Brazil,
yes,
to concede two and have to come back from 2-0 down to produce the miracle of Montpellier, as it was dubbed after the game, is not what you want going into the knockout phases.
And that's more to the point, is that it's not the results, it's the manner in which those results are coming. Yes, a good win against Brazil, but it all happened late, and maybe luckily. And Sam Kerr's comments afterwards have attracted a lot of attention. What was your take on it, Mossy?
Yeah, Jimmy, look, you know, I'm all for sports stars being themselves and not being robots and not trotting out the old cliches. So to see that raw emotion at full time, I thought was great. I guess where it was coming from is the question mark I've got, and also as a captain, I mean, the choice of words was probably, you know, if Sam had her time again, and she's a wonderful ambassador for the game. So let's not take that away from her. She's an unbelievable player. She deserves to be wearing the armband, but I just think the choice of words was not fantastic. And where it was coming from, I mean, if that's about criticism around the performance against Italy, it was very misguided, because, you know, when you become professional and you know, everything that's been around the Matildas over the last few years, you're going to cop criticism if you don't perform, and that's fair enough. If it was other than people being critical of the performance, if it was other matters, then I don't think that's the platform to air those responses, I guess. Mm. But either way, look, the performance we got was minimum expectation. Mm. You know, the Matildas have built a platform on their camaraderie and putting in 150% effort. We got that. They scored some goals, which is great. But as I said, at the other end, we need to tighten up going into these knockout phases. Mm.
Phil, you hope it wasn't coming from, as Jimmy and I were discussing earlier, like a siege mentality type situation within the camp. Because as an ex-coach, you would know, Phil, if you adopt a siege mentality, it can't last forever. And Matildas are a popular team, and they built that on the way they approach the game. And we admire watching them play.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. Spot on. And look, I'd be surprised if that was the mentality they adopted, because, as you said, they've got enough quality. They're ranked sixth in the world, and they're there for a reason. They're there because they've been a magnificent side to watch, and they've played with this free spirit under Alan Stajic. We didn't really see that in the first game against Italy, but certainly at 2-0 down, that free spirit seemed to come back to the fore for the Matildas somewhat. So I'm sure that Milicic will bottle that and carry that forward in this tournament. But we've got enough quality. As I said, what we have to do is stop these individual errors defensively and also work on this shape, this high line, and where we put pressure on the ball when we're holding a high line, because that's the key, and make sure that we allow the front line to play with that free spirit, because we've got goals in us.
Closer to home, the FFA have got the independent review. What are you anticipating coming out of that?
Well, it looks imminent, Jimmy. It looks as though we're definitely going to get it, which is fantastic because, you know, as we've all said, we think that's the only solution moving forward. What's going to come of that? Who knows? But what I would say is, you know, when you have an independent review, it has to be completely independent, and you've got to fall into line with the recommendations and act on them, because at the end of the day, reviews are just that. They review things, and the words that come out of it are just words until you put them into action. So, look, everyone will be watching with bated breath. I think it's an absolute starting point of where the game is at the moment, that we need a review into the processes of major decisions and how the game is run. And from there, we can start to draw a line in the sand and move forward.
Yeah, well said. Hey, Phil, what's latest with Azani's comeback?
Sorry, Ray, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, Azani, the Socceroos.
Daniel Azani.
Yeah, from his knee injury.
Azani. I thought you were talking about Arnie, the national team.
Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah, Daniel Azani, everyone will remember he did his knee ACL in his debut for Celtic. It looks as though he's nearing full fitness back at Celtic now. New manager Neil Lennon took over from Brendan Rodgers when he left.